vida. And I don't want this to be anywhere. I don't want this to be a service to where you feel like you got to be sitting while I'm talking. Hey, all of you that are up here, stay and minister. It's not about going through routine and ritual. All over this auditorium, there's hugs happening and there's people pouring their hearts out. I don't want that to stop today. Hey, listen, what God's doing in your heart, that's what needs to be dealt with. And if at any point in this sermon, God grabs your heart, hit the altar. God speaks to you. Don't you dare. There is no invitation that needs to be given. The invitation was already sent out when Jesus said, "It is finished." In other words, he said, "I have set the stage. I have prepared the table. I have made it ready. The dinner is served. Come and feast." And when he walked out of that tomb, when Jesus Christ got up, he conquered it all. And today, we have this mindset in our churches, and I'm not going to get a rant on this, but let me just say this. We have this idea that it has to go our way. That you got to sit at certain times, stand at certain times, worship at certain times, be quiet at certain times. No. Hey, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It doesn't say when. It just says, hey, when you've realized you've been redeemed, say so. I've heard this verse six times this weekend. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know why we're not overcoming? We may have the blood of the Lamb, but we don't have the words of the Lamb. We don't have the message of the Lamb. We don't have the praise of the Lamb. And our words, they speak death. The power of life and death is in our tongue. And the Bible said in Numbers 11, for those of you joining us online, that they complained and God sent a fire to consume them. Let's make a statement in our lives today. That God, the words that come out of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the words that I say vocally and the words that I say internally, may they be pleasing to you. And any time Satan throws his doubt in there, and any time fear comes in, instead of speaking it or thinking it, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Resist the devil and he will flee. See, knowing the truth of God helps you to tell the truth when somebody's telling lies. And when Satan shows up and says, "You could never be," just tell the truth to his lie. My God says that I am. My God says not only that I am the Yahweh, he says, "I am the one that's sending you." Write this down. God never sent out a dud. God never lit a firework that didn't go off. In other words, God never created a person that he could not use. God's never met a circumstance that he could not conquer. God's never seen an obstacle that he could not either tear down or blow right through. There are no limits to our God. And his truth sets us free. 9 realities today that you're going to need in your Christian life from Numbers 11. Every one of them from Numbers 11. I've got the Word of God out here because I don't know how many verses we're going to actually use. I'm going to go against all theological training that says do not use too much Scripture in your sermon or you will bore the people. And I'm going to say it's the Scripture that the people need. And so today I'm going to take you through and we're going to look at these realities of this one circumstance in the children of Israel that had 9 different events take place in it. Hey, can I tell you this? You may think that your circumstance has one end. You have a God that has no end. You may think that your circumstance has one result, and you have a God that's a multiplying God. You may think that your dollar is going to run out, but you have a God that doesn't need a dollar to make sure that you're provided for. You may think you're hungry, but you have a God that can break some bread. You may think you can't, but you have a God that can. And you may be dead, but you have a God that brings life. And you may be destroyed, but you have a God that puts back together. And you may be cast down, but you have a God that picks up. And you may not think you can make it, but you have a God that has made a way. And today, my prayer this morning was consume the junk of my life so that your truth can be revealed in my life. And man, I had this moment this morning. Never happened to me before. I was literally sitting at my desk and my body began to tremble. I could feel my heart physically trembling. I came out and told Pastor David about it. First words he said, "Are you okay?" I was like, "It was good." It wasn't this fear. It wasn't this I'm down and out. It wasn't worry. It wasn't anxiety. It was about, man, God's about to do something. God's about to really do something in our church. First thing I said to Amy as I walked past her this morning was, "He's going to do something today. He's going to do something today." And I'm going to tell you this. I firmly believe that today He has sent us here. We're standing here. We're broadcasting to you. We're coming on podcast simply to tell you this truth. God wants to awaken you and wants to bring you out of a wilderness into a land of promise. God wants to do something in your life. And today there's a battle against it. And if you are a child of God, you will face these nine realities of your life. And the first is this, that you are going to have to stop focusing on the hardships of life and let God's consuming fire burn up these negative thoughts that are consuming you. Number two, we find that one in verse number four. "For the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave" what? "The good things of Egypt." Underline these two words. Foreign rabble. Did you know that in Exodus 12, verse number 38, we find this verse where it says that a rabble of non-Israelites went with them. This is when they were exiting Egypt. These are Egyptians. These are people that are not of the children of God. But when the children of God started making the way out, they followed them. They left too. The other day I was reading through this chapter. I'd never seen that before. The foreign rabble. We hear about the complaints of Israel, but in this story we're about to read, this thing that's taking on, it's not Israel that begins the complaint. It's outsiders. And reality number two of life is this. If you're going to survive this life, you've got to watch what you're allowing to influence your life. Hey, listen, we have too many people inside there to be an influence in the church from the outside in. And I'm going to say this, the outside in keeps you from having an influence. God wants you to be influenced and guided from the inside out. He wants to work in your heart and then call you. You got to be careful what foreign substances, what foreign people, what foreign, hey, the thoughts and mindsets of the world cannot dictate your direction. It cannot dictate who you are. Well, someone said this to me. Hey, that's got to go. Well, so-and-so is mad at work. That's got to go. So-and-so doesn't like her husband. That's got to go. In other words, it's like this. I do not like to hear the end of the stories that start with, "Well, I thought you needed to know." I don't need to know junk. And I don't need to know how hard and bad or what things are being said about me or what things are being said around me. I'll tell you what I do need to know. Jesus. His purpose for my life. And His calling on my life. His love of my life. And I'm going to say this today, church. I believe God has called me to pastor, to shepherd, to feed this flock. And today, if you're visiting with us, He's given me the privilege, and maybe it's a one-time privilege, of presenting the truth to you. And in counseling, and from this pulpit, no longer will we feed the foreign substances of your life. No longer will we allow these words to be spoken. "Well, I have no blank." No. You have no friends. You have no hope. You have no... Hey, it's because you have no Jesus. And the moment that those words come out, we're going to speak Jesus into your life. And we're going to call you back to a mindset that says, "What do you have in Jesus' name?" See, when Moses showed up and God said, "I'm sending you to lead them out," Moses was like, "I got nothing." And God asked one simple question, "What is in your hand?" A mere staff. I've said this before, so I'm not going to stay on it. It makes me happy, so I'm going to say it again, though. The Bible says that Moses laid down his staff, his shepherd's staff, his crook. And it became a living snake. Remember, we said this in a series one time. In your hand, it's dead, but laid down when surrendered to God, it comes alive. in your own power, your life is dead. And in your own power, your marriage is dead. And in your own power, your career is dead. But lay it down before God and watch it come to life. Anytime Moses picked it up, what did it do? It died. But when Moses fully surrendered his rod to God, right? The Bible said when God told Moses to pick it back up, you know, from that point in that story all the way to the end of Moses' life, never is it called a staff, never is it called a shepherd's crook, never is it called anything other than the rod of God. And I don't know what you have today, but I know that if you have Jesus, you have enough. And I don't know what is in your hand today, but I know that if you'll surrender it to Him, it will be enough. And I don't know what your circumstances are today, but I do know this. You've got to be influenced from the one that lives within you, not the ones that are living around you. Your circumstances, your trials, your heartaches, your heartbreaks, don't let them change what you believe today. And the Bible says that they, after they heard this complaining, look at this. Go back to our verse in verse number 4. And the people of Israel also began to complain. See, the people of Egypt thought Egypt was good, but what was Egypt to the people of Israel? Slavery, bondage, hard work. See, to the world, the things of the world are great. Why? Because it's all they've got. The Bible even says that the things of God are foolishness to those that don't believe. You preach Jesus, they think you're insane. You preach creation, they think you've lost it. You say one way, one God, one kingdom, they think you're crazy. Why? Because they don't know yet. They don't know what I know. And they don't know what you know. How many of you know how good God is today? How many of you say, oh man, He's been good to me? All right, hey, how many of you have seen His divine power? How many of you, right, maybe even this morning, your mind has been renewed or your life has been refreshed or you've been remade? I mean, how many of you have seen God's mighty hand show up in your life? How many of you today say, God's not foolish to me? God is all that is. God is all that was. God is all that ever will be. And today, I will not let the complaints of a lost generation keep me from the praise of a revived, renewed generation, a powerful kingdom of God. Man, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is real. Where that Spirit is, there's freedom. Freedom. Oh, the good of Egypt. Are you kidding me? Stop fantasizing your past. Stop believing it was better than it was. Matter of fact, let's go to reality number 3. Stop letting the past influence the present. Because the past will always hold you back, whether good or bad. It will hold you back. So here's what I want you to know. Visit the past. Memories. Visit hardships and learn. Visit but don't dwell. Think about but don't stay there. Don't ponder. Look at where you've come from. Listen, my testimony is not about all the doom and gloom of my life. My testimony is about where He's brought me in life. You say, where did you used to be? Does that matter? Who did you used to be? Does that matter? I can stand here all day long and give you the 26-year history of my demise. But all 26 years disappeared in one moment when my knees hit that floor and my heart became available. When God invaded my life, He didn't sit there and give me a history lesson. He sat there and gave me a future. The Bible says He raised you to walk in a new life. Lifted you out of a miry clay. And I like this. He didn't set you on unstable ground and did not put you on an unfirm foundation. No, the Bible says He lifted you out of the pit and He established your going. Your word is a suggestion to my life and an idea for my path. No, your word is a lamp. It is a light. It is a guide. It is a compass. And when your word speaks and I follow, I step into purity. I step into freedom. I step into truth. I step into promise. And as I'm seeking God and as I'm following God, I find God. Every step of the way, He's there. Even when I'm running from God, He is still present. Even when I'm denying God, He's still in love. Even when I reject Him, He still chases me. And if he has to prevail a well of safety to bring me back to dry land, he will swallow me whole. You know what I call that? His hedge of protection. Say, God doesn't protect the unjust. Are you kidding me? He lets it rain on the fields of the good and the evil. You say, well, I don't like that kind of God. I do. I do. Because I used to be the unjust and now I'm justified. I used to be the lost, but now I'm found. Anybody else in the house today? I mean, anybody else experiencing the joy of the Lord in this moment? I mean, do you think we're a little bit crazy? And are you okay with that? I mean, isn't it okay? Somebody once told me, you lost it. Good, I hope I never find it. All right? You lost it. You've lost it. I hope I never pick it back up. I'm glad that heaven doesn't have a lost and found. Heaven has a, they were lost, they are found, and now it's about something totally different. Totally new. And if you're sitting there today, listen, a lot of you, I'm going to preach right to this camera. Y'all stay with me and start praying. A lot of you are sitting there with disabilities, and God bless you for tuning in. But a lot of you are sitting there because you fear crowds. You fear anxiety. You think that the church is okay to be alone and isolated. But Jesus did not die for the church to go in hiding. And Jesus did not die for the church for you to sit on a couch and not have a purpose. And Jesus did not give his life for you so that you could be consumed by your fears, your doubts, and confusion. Jesus gave it all for you so that you could be set free, so that you could have the strength to stand up, put on whatever clothes, it don't matter, come in your pajamas, step into the presence of God with God's people, and know that God has designed you for service and designed you for power and influence. And you will not be an influence if you're influenced from the outside in, and you will not make it anywhere if you're living in your past, living in your fears. But you don't know how a church hurt me. I can tell you a lot of stories about how a church hurt me. But what I found is they weren't the church. They were not God's church. They were a church. They were a socialized club. They were something that man had made and man had control of. But today, I didn't walk into Grace Community Church. I walked into the presence of God. And today, I'm not standing here because of these people. I'm standing here because he's worthy. And I'm not preaching today so that they can hear. I'm preaching today because I have heard him and I know who he is. And today, it's not about being a part of a church. It's about being a part of a kingdom. And so today, I'm calling you to victory. To step out. Well, I need healing. Well, good, I'll tell you where to find it. In Jesus' name. Well, I need restored. You're not going to restore yourself sitting on a couch. Matter of fact, you're probably going to eat too many potato chips. You're not going to restore yourself sitting there. Well, I watched church on TV. That's great. And that's good. So do I. I have preachers that I like. Not all of them, but I watch some. I got podcasts that I listen to. You know what I found is God uses those people to energize me, to send me out, to bring me back into the pulpit, to encourage me to step back into my office, to step back into counseling appointments. God uses those people not to condemn me to my couch, but to raise me to my purpose. And so today, you cannot hear the Word of God without being challenged by the Word of God, and you cannot apply the Word of God without it putting you on the move. So children of God, listen to me. Today, let's stop living in the kingdom of defeat and start living in the kingdom of victory. I live by this quote that God gave me years ago. If you live in your past, you have no future. But if you learn from your past, you've made a future. You've made it. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. Anybody else say, yep, testimony, got one. Man, they were good, valuable lessons, weren't they? You say, how are your mistakes lessons? I know certain things not to say, certain places not to go, certain things not to do. I know that I'm not good alone. How do you know that? Because I make mistakes. I know that I'm not good outside of the kingdom and outside of the service of God. Why? Because I've made mistakes. I know certain things not to do as a pastor and certain things to do. Why? I've made mistakes. It's not because of all the things I know. It's all the things that God has shown me through my mistakes. Because God is the God that can even take bad things and make them good. What men mean for evil, God will use for good. That means what men mean for evil against you and what you've done in your own stuff that was evil, God will repurpose and use for good. For we know this, Romans 8:28. All all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. All things, not some things. Hey, God can turn what seems to be asbestos into nothing at all. God can turn what seems to be a disease into a story. We sat Friday night and watched a video of a man fall 50 feet from a tree, which should have died. They said, be disemboweled. And he stood there as if nothing had ever happened. He walked out of the hospital 2 days after. Why? Because God can do what no one can do. There's a man sitting here, three rows back, that died. But they told us, and we believed, truly, would not make it out of the hospital. But he's in church today. Why is that? Because we have a mighty, powerful God. God doesn't see a circumstance and back down. God doesn't see a failure. God sees an opportunity. So whatever it is in your past, put it in your past. It's not your past if it's always on your mind. That's your present. And at some point, I got to put the past behind me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, Jesus walked a very hard road, but he overcame. And today he says, let's look at our champion. Hey, we don't just have a savior today. We have a champion. We have a warrior. And he says, what was in me is in you. What God used in my life, he's using in your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of all this doom and gloom. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, church. Friday night, as I said at that youth rally, there again, let me emphasize the words, youth rally, for teenagers. I experienced very deep emotions. As this man preached about his healing, you would think that as a man of God, I would immediately rejoice, but I became bitter. Very angry. Then all of a sudden God started convicting and he said, I didn't put this man in front of you so that you would get jealous or envious of his healing. I put this man in front of you to confirm that I'm a healer. Then I felt very broken and immediately the accusers started making me feel guilty for the feelings I was having. Have you ever had that happen in church? Anybody else in here a moody worshiper? Anybody else ever in here started a song and in your heart you're mad at God? By the end of the song, you're praising Him? You know what? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I think everybody has a spiritual menstrual cycle. To where we get in there and we just get all moody and bent out of shape. By the end of that sermon, our teenagers, our stinking teenagers, would not get up off the altar. I still struggle. They had called me forward to come pray. And I'm going to tell you this. I laid hands on teenagers, but I could not lean forward and pray with them. Because there was a work needing to be done in my heart. And because they would not get up, they sang an extra song. A song I'd never heard before. Steve, I don't even remember the words except for He's a God of miracles and He will come through. I don't even know where it's from or anything. They sang an extra song because our teenagers wouldn't come to find out Bella was getting saved, right? And so she's sitting there giving her heart to Christ. And while she's sitting there giving her heart to Christ, God's using her already to give me time to get my heart right. And He told me, He said, grab that man and ask that man to stand in agreement with you over your son. I went to him. I said, Chauncey, I'm the pastor of Grace Community Church. I just want you to pray over me. My son has three humanly incurable diseases and autism on top of the... Will you stand in agreement with me that God will totally, totally heal my son? As he was praying, I've never wept like that. The tears weren't even hitting my cheeks. They were falling straight off my eyelashes onto his arm. And they were just booming. When we got done, I wiped his arm and I said, I am so sorry. And he said, oh, brother, that's an honor. And right there that day, I said, okay, God, I've prayed for healing, but I haven't really believed in healing. And anything is possible to those who believe. Be it done to you according to your... That, the Bible says in James 1, faith not wavering. There can't be a doubt. And I left that night in a total belief, and I'm declaring it publicly because I want to be held accountable, that my son will not just speak. My son is going to be delivered in Jesus' name so that one day he can stand and tell a testimony of how he was bound by these diseases and the Spirit of God came on him and set him free. I am not doubting it, I'm believing it. And I'm going to say this, I've had multiple people, tens, maybe 20s, come to me and tell me of visions that they've had and dreams they've had of my son speaking, and I've never had one until that night. That night I went home and went to bed, and I had this beautiful dream of my son stepping in and talking and speaking and conversation so fluently. And he wasn't an old son. He was right at his age. And so I woke up and I said, God, I believe your healing is coming. And all of a sudden I hear these footsteps coming down the wall. And all of a sudden he pops into my bedroom and says, Dada. And I was like, what? But he said it in such a way, it was da-da. And I was like, is he saying da-da or is he saying ta-da? Did God just send him to say, here it comes? And I sat there and I said, God, you're so good. And so today I'm asking you as a church to stand in agreement in our lives that God will do some miraculous work in our little boy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm standing in agreement in your life that your addictions are no more, that your mindsets have been changed, that your marriages will be revived, that your finances will come back to life, that your homes would be restored. Today, the past is the past, and we're looking ahead to who God is. And let's stand together and believe that God can raise up a generation today. That He can do something that is way more powerful than us. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, nor has it even entered into the imaginations of men what God has in store for me and for you. Part two, coming at 11 o'clock. It's one of those moments where the Spirit just hits me and says, stop. The people of God are standing. Stop. The people in God are hearing. Stop. The people in God need to respond. And right here, right now, does anybody else have an awakening of their soul? Anybody else? And I'm not saying it has to be a physical feeling. Anybody else in your mind, a hope is born? Anybody else that in your heart, peace is ushered in? Anybody else for just a few moments? Maybe for the last 15 minutes, you haven't thought about your circumstances so much, but you've been thinking about Jesus. Anybody else like that? Anybody else forgotten about their troubles? Anybody else, even if it's a temporary moment, anybody else been able to step into the presence of God and realize that in that presence, nothing else matters? That in His presence, everything is right and everything is whole, and that in His name is the only place to live. I had our praise team walk through those seats. I had people. I told them, I said, if you hear any negativity before today's service, just start saying Jesus' name. If the sound system starts messing up, just start speaking Jesus' name. If something goes wrong today, just back up and audibly start saying in Jesus' name. And our camera system would not work. And we started speaking in Jesus' name. And we saw God do something in that. And other things did not work. Hey, listen, are you tired of your life not working? Well, then in Jesus' name, let His work go to work in you. And let Him do in your life what only God can do. So I'm going to invite those of you that have never accepted Jesus Christ. Those of you that so far this has seemed a little awkward, but intriguing. A little weird, but yet something feels right. A little out of the normal. I was visiting with our, what they call them, what do you say? We're sporadic visitors, right? I was visiting with our sporadic visitors. I love that this morning. And I told him, I said, sit back and get comfortable. And then get ready to get uncomfortable. In Jesus' name. And then what we said, I am very uncomfortable today. And loving it. And so today, if you're the child of God and he's knocking on the heart's door, open it and fellowship. But if you're not a child of God and he's calling your name, surrender it and come to life. So right now I'm going to ask every believer to go to prayer. Praying that nothing is hindering and nothing will hold back what God is trying to do in somebody's life. And I'm calling those of you that are here today. Maybe you've tried everything the world has to offer and it's not working. Maybe you've done everything that you can do and it's not figured out. I'm going to say this. If you've given the world a chance, give Jesus a chance. And if today you can open your heart, I'm not saying you have to understand God. And I'm not saying that you have to know everything about God. I'm asking you right now, will you trust God? Just give him the little bit of hope, the little bit of faith that you've experienced. And right now, if you've never allowed him in your heart, would you just simply utter the words to heaven? I believe that Jesus is Lord. He died and rose again. And I need him to come into my life. And to put my life under new management. Is there anybody here today? As the children of God pray, as we do not expose your privacy, is there anybody here today, whether sitting or standing, that would say, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I'm giving my life to him. And today I'm asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life and to save my soul. If that is you, would you slip your hand up just where you are? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just where you're at. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I'm giving my heart to Jesus. Amen. I see it. I see it back there. Anybody else? That's why we kept the children in there. Anybody else? To the two of you that accepted Christ, three of you. All right, I'm not stopping. Anybody else? To the three of you that just accepted Jesus Christ, to the two children that God canceled Children's Church for you to be in here this morning. And that never happens. For the adult. For the adult, man, listen, life has begun. Your best is yet to come. And no matter where you've been to this point, doesn't matter. Because God just gave you a clean slate, my friend. Children, God just gave you a bright hope and a bright future. And today we praise God with you for salvation. Children of God, if revival is to begin, it's to begin in the house of God. And the house of God is not Grace Community Church, for all of you that think you have to be in Grace Community Church to have revival. Revival begins in your heart, and revival is simply when something that is dead changes, or something that is broken is fixed, or something that is wrong is made right. When it makes the opposite direction or opposite impact of what currently is there, that is what revival is. So if sin is in there, it needs to be forsaken. That's revival. If doubt is in there, it needs to be cast down. And so today, I'm calling on the kingdom of God, whether here or abroad, to step out and surrender, to come boldly before your God, to lay down the weights that so easily trip us up and weigh us down, the sins that so easily trip us up. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses today, so let's run with endurance. And in order to run, we've got to strip some things off. We got to lay some things down. And so as we close this service, I'm going to ask you to join me All right? If you're on the bottom floor, just step to the front. If you're in the balcony, just step to the rail. And I'm going to ask you to stand there in agreement with me on the things that we've asked for. The healing of my son. But to stand there in agreement with those that are coming forth in confession and proclamation of Jesus Christ. That we will be a revived generation. An alive generation. Ready to serve and ready to do what God has called us to do. That the army of God will come out of hiding. Out of the trenches and become giant slayers. That the people of God will no longer be shaken by the things of the world, but standing on the truths and the promises of God. Will you join me in the front on the floor, in the balcony on the front? Will we put our arms around each other? And may we close in this service saying, may that consuming fire rage in America and all over the world until all that is left is the power and presence of God in every church, in every generation. In every town, in every city, in every state, in every nation. Because in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit. Young men, be ready. The Bible says they'll start having these dreams. And old men will start having visions. In other words, you're never outdated and never too young. And I don't know about you, but today, like Pastor Josh said last Sunday morning, here's my vessel. Pour your spirit out. Awaken me. Do things that I thought couldn't be done. Move in our services like never before. I honestly don't know if I've ever seen an invitation like this. And then pray. Because we didn't even make it halfway through the realities. And another opportunity's coming. We will come back on to live stream in our second service. So go to the bathroom. Get something to eat. If you're here, go to the refreshment table. But if you've already had some, wait till the second service has theirs first. If you're going to stay for the second service, I told our praise team this. That when God called us through Paul to be an influence on people, the first words that he uttered is, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving in Ephesians 4. Be kind. I told our praise team today, don't go to your seat. Don't go get on the stage. Go get out under the awning. Go around in the auditorium and be friendly. Usher people into relationship so that when the service begins, they've already began to experience the relationship that God desires with them. So I literally am inviting every one of you to stay. You don't have to. Don't feel obligated. But if you can, don't go to your seats. Go be friendly and usher this next service in the presence of God. And if we run out of chairs, you be the people willing to stand. If we let them have the seats, let them get comfortable so God can make them uncomfortable. And will you pray with me that every Sunday turns into this? Will you pray with me that every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday turns into this? Will you pray with me that this church starts influencing other churches? I made my first pastor friend. In 7 years, I've sought a pastor friend that was actively in another church and have been rejected by everyone that I've called. We made our youth group available to another church, and I immediately, Tony introduced me to a guy, and we yoked. We text a lot yesterday. And he said, I am so glad to have a spiritual brother. I said, me too. And for the first time in my ministry ever, another pastor said, I really hope that y'all's services are full of blessing. And I thought to myself, oh, here comes the kingdom. because I really hope yours are too. So today, let's be the kingdom. Amen. I love you. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Stay positive. Oh, all kinds of doubt and all kinds of negativity. If you're staying for the next service, stay off your phone. If you want to tweet or text, great, but don't read anything else. Don't let pollution have its way in before God does what He's going to do in the next service. I'm going to actually, after I dismiss this service, I'm not going to stand at the back door today, and I'm not meaning that an offense to anybody. I'm going to go to our children's facility, and I'm going to have a time of prayer. You're welcome to join me. We will not all fit. I'm going to pray that God renews this next service and that we see the same Spirit move. Whether you're in here being friendly or out there with me, will you pray the same? Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for your goodness. Oh God, I prayed for a day like this. But I found this truth that my faith didn't line up with the prayer. Oh, but God, how good it is to see your word prove true. And when our faith is in alignment with you, and when we are bold and that we come with the authority of the gospel, not our message and not our opinions, but your truth, when we stand in confidence of what your word has proclaimed to us, the results are pure. God, I see an entire generation standing here. I see multiple generations standing here. May we be a generation that gets on the move, that steps out of the way so that you can do what you need to do, unhindered, totally equipped and ready, putting on the armor of God, drawing our swords ready for battle, and charging ahead for the kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things.